This podcast of Le Show is a production of KCRW Santa Monica at 89.9 FM and webcasting at kcrw.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've looked forward to and dreaded the approach of this broadcast. It's not going to be the usual program, that's for sure. It's not for laughs, and it's not going to be about sadness and anger. There's plenty of that everywhere else. Although, when you see a city that is, among other things, known around the world for its cuisine, on its knees begging for food, it's hard not to feel both. But at a time when the city is on its knees, and when some around the country, including the Speaker of the House and at least one writer in the Los Angeles Times, are basically calling the death knell for the city. One thing I've learned in New Orleans, you know this broadcast has originated in New Orleans many times over the past few years, and I've never really stopped to explain why. So, one of the things I've learned about the culture of the place is that when a loved one passes, yes, there's some grieving and then some mourning, but basically there's a celebration. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go along. But as I say, as some around the country are calling the death knell for New Orleans, this broadcast today is a celebration of the place. And it begins with this, which was intended as just a list of this guy's favorite things about the city. And this broadcast will be similarly a list of what I know about the city. Nobody knows the whole city. It started out as a list of his favorite things. Today, it's a list of the missing. Hello, welcome to the show.
Peep this out. What is New Orleans? What is New Orleans? New Orleans is red beans and rice on a Monday night. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is Creole gumbo, filet gumbo, cayenne gumbo, chicken gumbo, smoked sausage gumbo, hot sausage gumbo, onion gumbo. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is grits with liver smothered in onion with brown gravy and two sunny side up eggs with a little biscuit on the side with cheese on the top of the hash browns. What is New Orleans? What is New Orleans? New Orleans is hot sausage on a grill every day of the week. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is fish grits and eggs. New Orleans is pork chop grits in it. New Orleans is any kind of meat you want with some grits and eggs, y'all. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is... New Orleans is Roots Cozy Corn. New Orleans is Joe's Cozy Corn. The Little People Place, y'all. New Orleans is the Trim Me Music Hall. New Orleans is Crystals. New Orleans is the Climax. New Orleans is... New Orleans is... Fawns on a Thursday night. New Orleans is Diner's Point Grill. New Orleans is the Preservation Hall. Y'all, New Orleans is... Jackson Square, New Orleans is. New Orleans is Maximus. New Orleans is Roosevelt. When you get nice and hungry on a Thursday night, y'all, what is New Orleans? What is New Orleans? New Orleans is Clyde Barbershop. St. Bernard Street. New Orleans is the poor boy, y'all. Jeans, or wherever you want to take it, same or not. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is the Sixth Ward. Sixth Ward, young fella. New Orleans is the Night Ward. New Orleans is the Bay Ward. New Orleans is the Third Ward. New Orleans is the Seventh Ward, y'all. New Orleans is the Eighth Ward, you better believe it. Somebody say the 17th for Shiggity. What is New Orleans? What is New Orleans? New Orleans is Tuba Fat. New Orleans is the Rebirth Brass Band. New Orleans is the Little Rascals Brass Band. The Newport Brass Band, y'all. New Orleans is the Trimby Brass Band on a Sunday night by Joe's Coles and Carl. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is the Pinstripe with Mark way across the street playing the tuba. What is New Orleans? Who said it? What is New Orleans? New Orleans is the Sidewalk Stepper. New Orleans is the money waster. New Orleans is the black men of labor, y'all. What is New Orleans? New Orleans is the buck jumpers. New Orleans is. New Orleans is the lady buck jumpers, then. New Orleans is the trim me spokes. New Orleans is the high roller. New Orleans is. The golden trumpet. What is New Orleans? What is New Orleans? You boo 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 boo. New Orleans is Tipitina. Tra la la la. You boo 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 boo. Peep this out, y'all. Brother Fritz. New Orleans is Tyrone Miller. New Orleans is Kentucky. New Orleans is Peaches Up. Thank you. We'll be right back.
From what used to be the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Just a little perspective. Check out for your edification, for your amusement, perhaps, what Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said when there were reports of massive looting and vandalism in Baghdad following its liberation. Among the memorable things he said was, quote, "Stuff happens," unquote. It wasn't zero tolerance then. The saddest thing that happened in New Orleans this year, before this week, will take a little explaining. But we got an hour. You hear references in New Orleans music all the time, both lyrically and, if you understand, musically, to Mardi Gras Indians. You just heard in that song Earl King saying, "Hey, hey, Indian man." What are the Mardi Gras Indians are an outgrowth of street gangs in the 19th century. There are different explanations about what happened, but basically, somewhere along the line, they stopped battling the way street gangs do and started instead, in the wake of the Civil War, and realizing that they had a common bond of oppression with Native Americans, they started styling themselves as Indian tribes and started competing instead of competing to see who was the meanest and strongest, competing in display. The guys who formed the basis of these tribes spent all year sewing and beading incredibly elaborate costumes for themselves and for their families and for other people in the tribe. And you may have heard a song on this broadcast from time to time called "New Suit." Every year, Mardi Gras time, I make a new suit. That's what it's about. It's about these guys who spend all year, and they're not rich people, beading and sewing these amazing costumes, huge feathered and beaded headdresses and beaded costumes, weighing hundreds of pounds sometimes. And another song from the city, "Big Chief Needs Plenty of Firewater," explains that you really do have to get drunk or smashed or somehow zonked to walk around in these things for any length of time. And they do all day on Mardi Gras Day. And the universally regarded in, and there are about, oh, I don't know, two dozen of these tribes. And they've survived for more than a century. And widely regarded in town as the chief of chiefs, the most well-regarded, and in the vernacular of the culture, this is the highest compliment that could be paid. The prettiest of the chiefs was named Tootie Montana. Last year, he was getting very old, and last year he suited up on Mardi Gras Day for the last time. And as a tribute to that, another old Mardi Gras tradition was brought back. Now, this is stuff that doesn't happen on Canal Street or Bourbon Street, and so tourists don't see it. But it was an old tradition in the black community of New Orleans called the Baby Dolls, where these women, probably originally a lot of them were prostitutes. That's where jazz began, in the front parlors of brothels. Pardon me. Dressed up in baby doll costumes and paraded on Mardi Gras Day. And so last year, they did that in honor of Tootie Montana. This year, one other day of the year, the Mardi Gras Indians will come out and parade and challenge each other who's the prettiest. And it's a day called Super Sunday, which is usually, I believe, coinciding with St. Joseph's Day, which is right after St. Patrick's Day, right before St. Patrick's Day. The Catholics know. And there was a scuffle. There was an incident with the New Orleans Police Department. And I believe there was a fatality. And there was a great deal of controversy in the community. And so City Council President Oliver Thomas called a hearing to discuss the matter. And Tootie Montana came to the City Council hearing, got up, and said, referring to friction between the Indians and the New Orleans Police Department, said, quote, "This has got to stop," unquote. Then he sat down and dropped dead. And City Council President Oliver Thomas, in tears, not for the last time this year, obviously, said, "I blame myself." What followed was the biggest, in an appropriate period of time, was one of the biggest funerals the city's seen recently. There's a great piece about it in the New York Times, just describing the scene of Tootie's funeral. Mardi Gras is what most people understand or think they understand about New Orleans. But it's useful to start here. Alone among the major public events in the United States, Mardi Gras has never had any commercial sponsorship. It may seem like it does because the breweries do a tremendous marketing campaign around Mardi Gras. But the actual event is put on by just a bunch of guys and now gals, raise the money themselves, have a big party, a ball, and a parade. And they do it for themselves, and yes, everybody else can come, to the parades at least. But if nobody else came, they'd still do it. It's not done for the tourists. Tourists are welcome, and by golly, they keep the city, they have kept the city alive in recent years. But it's done without Budweiser, without Kodak, without McDonald's, not knocking those fine companies. I hope they give a lot of money to keep to get the city back on its feet. But I'm just pointing out it's very different. And yes, what you see on television does happen on in a small area that sort of is, okay, here's for the tourists. You want to do this? Go ahead. Have fun. Leave money. We'll clean up after you. But the thing itself is so much bigger. This year, you know, you look back, ladies and gentlemen, and think about things that you didn't do with regret. I look back on a choice I made this year with disbelief and happiness. I had a book to finish about which you'll hear more next year. And I looked at the calendar, and I saw that the carnival season, the entire carnival season, which is much larger than Mardi Gras, starts on Twelfth Night, which is 6 days after Christmas. 6 days? No, it's January 6th. It's 12 days after Christmas. That's hence the name. And goes to Fat Tuesday. I saw that it was one of the most foreshortened, actually backshortened, carnival seasons ever, because Mardi Gras was happening very early this year. I thought, I got to finish the book. I've never done all of carnival season. That's what I'm going to do. So you may recall there were 5 weeks early in the year when this program originated from New Orleans. That's what I was doing. I would write during the day and then experience carnival, usually at night. It's Twelfth Night, which is meaningless outside of Shakespeare most of the on most of the planet, was marked by the first masked party of the season. There's a place called Napoleon House in the French Quarter, which I believe, I may have this wrong, but I believe it was built in expectation of the emperor's visit. And the second floor is sort of a grand style, old style ballroom. And in the middle of winter, everybody got in there in their costumes, everybody, the invited guests, and just walked around looking at each other. Just walked around trying to figure out who's who, the way you do at a masked ball, and had good food, needless to say. And the events of carnival season sort of start slowly from there, and then it gathers this relentless momentum. There are more and more parades. They start out in the outlying parishes and then start moving into the city. And in the neighborhood that my wife and I live in the French Quarter, there's a children's parade. The school holds a children's parade. And the tradition of Mardi Gras parades, carnival parades, is you parade, but you throw things at the crowd. Keepsakes, souvenirs. The one everybody knows about is cheap plastic beads, but parades are marked by their uniqueness of their throws, culminating in the very first Mardi Gras parade I ever participated in. It dates from the days when New Orleans and Mardi Gras were extremely segregated, and members of the black community decided early in the 20th century, we're going to have our own parade. Screw trying to get into the white guys' parade. And they formed a crew called Zulu. And Zulu's act was basically, we're going to make fun of the stereotypes of black people. So the black members of Zulu put on blackface, huge scary Afro wigs, grass skirts, and throw coconuts at the crowd. And there is no more cherished throw in the annals of Mardi Gras than the painted and decorated Zulu coconut. Of course, it can put your head out, too, but you don't throw it anymore. You hand it nicely to people. There's also, in the calendar of Carnival, it gives me some pause to mention this today because of what's on the news, but this is a celebration. There's a parade called Barkus, where people dress up their dogs. I know it sounds corny and awful, except it's not. It's amazing. The dogs all must be on some kind of tranquilizer because they're incredibly well behaved. And every year the Barkus parade has a theme, and the cleverness and silliness, no, cleverness, excuse me, of the way the theme is carried out is pretty remarkable. And then you get to the climactic weekend. And there's one of the balls, because all these groups that have Mardi Gras parades have balls too. And these are like big. I found out one year how big and fancy they were because I didn't wear a tuxedo and wasn't allowed in. Tuxedo? In New Orleans? Are you kidding me? Yes, sir, we are. The Saturday night before Mardi Gras, there's an event whose name I won't mention because part of its panache and charm over the years is that everyone involved with it denied it existed. But it exists. And it's you must wear a costume to get in. And the Radiators, a New Orleans band that's been going on now for about 30 years, plays and has an active repertoire of about 500 songs, plays all night. And the crowd, costumed, perhaps intoxicated, is inside a place called Mardi Gras World. Mardi Gras World is where they build the Mardi Gras floats. And at night, with most of the lights out, the headpieces from the Mardi Gras floats, the giant heads that you may have seen at the front of a lot of these floats, from floats from years past, glare down at you from the walls as this phantasmagorical costume show goes on, including around you and including you if you go. And then it's Mardi Gras Day, and I'll finish this little segment by telling you my answer to the question, what is New Orleans? There's a parade on Mardi Gras Day that started as a mainly gay parade, but it's now open to, pardon me, all comers. And my wife and I have participated. I've always hated Halloween. I've always hated dressing up. I do that for a living, I figured. But New Orleans gets you. And so we've been in this parade. And anybody can join, as I say. It's a walking parade through the French Quarter and adjacent neighborhoods. And people do the oddest things. There were two guys this year dressed as two occupants of a bath, walking down the street with a bathtub around them. I can't even describe it more than that. Normally, my wife and I go as, you know, historic figures or something like that. I said, this year, let's do something special. So she agreed to this plan. She was PFC Lindy England, the leash girl from Abu Ghraib. And I was the guy in the hood with the electrodes coming out of his hands from Abu Ghraib. And because there's, you know, there's politics and there's all sorts of gallows humor connected with Mardi Gras. And we got some laughs, and we got some people saying, ooh, God, you think that's funny? And that's normal. But what's not normal was about halfway down the parade route, we ran into a couple of people who were dressed exactly the same as we were. Only in New Orleans.
Mardi Gras Day, Mardi Gras Day, Mardi Gras Day, Mardi Gras Day, Jackie Moore.
this is LeShow, my very best friend in New Orleans, who introduced me to so very much of the city. I'm glad to say is safe and well. And it was through her that I first began to realize that the city spanned this amazing distance from real old-style southern antebellum society to the Caribbean and Africa. One day, she took me to a reunion of the girls' school that she'd gone to, which was antebellum, upper crust South, distilled into a building. 8 years worth of alumni from this school, which I guess had done a pretty good job of teaching them, but what they remembered most of all was the fact that on every occasion, whenever it rained, or any occasion worth celebrating, they would be put to the task of making themselves costumes out of crepe paper. That was what they did at the girls' school. And the next day, metaphorically speaking, she took me to a dive long closed but legendary in New Orleans called the Glass House, where in the space smaller than your kitchen, however small your kitchen is, brass bands would play all night long for people who were, let's say it, ballsy enough to be in that neighborhood. Brass bands came from the jazz funeral. I went to my first New Orleans funeral about a year and a half ago. It was the funeral of a famous woman in the New Orleans restaurant business. And so I saw for myself what happens, which is it being a mainly Catholic town, for about the first hour they talk about Jesus. And then people get up and talk about rollicking stories about the life of the deceased. And then they get up and a band leads them and they march on out to the tomb. As you know by now, people aren't buried underground in New Orleans for reasons that are way too obvious. And that had been a tradition that had sort of lain dormant. There had been some older brass bands that kept it alive. But in the 1980s, first with the Dirty Dozen and then with Rebirth and a number of others, young kids started picking up brass instruments, forming themselves into funky new brass bands. If you heard the program with Evan Christopher and Tom McDermott a few weeks ago, the clarinet player and piano player who work at Donna's Bar and Grill on Rampart Street, every other night at Donna's, it's a brass band. And how did I get into this? Oh, they would play at the Glass House, and that's one of the places that this movement started. But man, you really felt as though you were not in the antebellum South anymore, Dorothy, when you were at the Glass House. But the other thing that people outside New Orleans know most about is the jazz festival, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Although it's so much more than jazz. And it was my first introduction to the city. But in the years that I've been going there, you can just pick any year, and there's at least one thing that stands out as a stunning, absolutely stunning moment. About 4 years ago, when Randy Newman was playing one of the big stages, and a giant, well, at the time we thought it was a giant, rainstorm came right over the stage, and the skies opened up. And Randy, I don't know whether it was in his schedule to play this song, but of course he couldn't resist and started playing the song that you may have heard last week on this broadcast, Louisiana, 1927, about the big flood from that year. And the crowd's response as they were getting drenched was sheer joy. It's hard to explain, but that's what it was. It was as he started the song, they were just erupting in sheer joy. Brian Wilson, of all people, played Jazz Fest this year, and I had the amazing pleasure of having a conversation with him on a stage there before his show began. And it was the first place I ever saw a lot of acts from around the world, from the Mahatela Queens to the great Brazilian piano player and composer Hermeto Pascoal. Richard Thompson has played some amazing solo concerts at Jazz Fest. And Keb Mo. The thing about that time of year is that you're not seeing, you rarely see, sometimes you see, people's ordinary sets. But the New Orleans music audience and the audience that especially that comes for Jazz Fest has a reputation of being fairly sophisticated. And so musicians tend to, shall we say, bring their A game. So you see performances and combinations of performances that you rarely see during the rest of the year. Some things you might not know about New Orleans. It does have a wretched school system, public school system. But the jewel in the educational crown is the New Orleans, I'm not going to remember the full name of the place, but it's called NOCCA, N-O-C-C-A. And it is the arts high school from which the Marsalises and everybody else you've ever heard of as a New Orleans jazz musician has gone through. And a few years back, the parents and some interested folks in the community who saw that it was a great school but needed new facilities raised $15 million on their own and built what is now the best, and still is, because it's safe, the best-equipped arts high school, I think, in the country. Certainly one of them. And when the New Orleans School District attempted to say, hey, well, thank you very much, we'll take that now, the parents said, I don't think so, and made sure that it was transferred to the state for administration instead. So now any student who can pass an audition can get into that school for free. The you hear all the time references to second line in New Orleans, and I'm not an expert, but I believe that that is the phrase that describes the people who are marching behind the band at a funeral, at a jazz funeral. That's the second line.
Thank you.
The food. Everybody's got their list of favorite food in New Orleans. My favorite's, I think the best sandwich in the world is, I'll just tell you about it, and you tell me if this doesn't sound like the best sandwich in the world. You know, I could be wrong. Smoked duck, pepper jelly, cashew butter, toasted sourdough with some red onions. Sorry, that's it. It's the best sandwich in the world. Of course, po' boys, everybody knows about those. There's duck everywhere because there's duck in the swamps. Speaking of swamps, you hear about swamps. I heard about swamps when I went there. I thought, ooh, clean those up. Till a friend took me out one November to visit where he went to shoot ducks. Sorry, that's how you get them. And it's an amazing landscape, the swamp west and surrounding New Orleans, so much of Louisiana. It's got an eerie beauty that you would never dream of when you hear the word swamp. Swamp sounds like something that you call in the Corps of Engineers. No, I don't think so, to clear. But it's absolutely gorgeous. And, of course, those very wetlands are being lost. The wetlands south of New Orleans are being lost at the rate of a Manhattan Island a year. And anybody who watches the Weather Channel knows hurricanes build up power over water and they lose power over land. So a good idea to lose some land between the Gulf of Mexico and New Orleans. A real good idea. Politics. Oh, I still didn't finish with food. So much of the restaurant clientele is based on the tourist business, it's got an incredibly sophisticated palate. That is to say, it's a city where almost every restaurant has sweetbreads on the menu. You tell me what other city you could put sweetbreads on the menu and have the restaurant stay in business. Sweetbreads? Isn't that some kind of gland? Yes, it is. Politics. Everybody knows it's corrupt down there. And this is not to excuse incompetence. Clearly, incompetence costs lives. But my favorite story about corruption, or the roguishness, shall we say, of New Orleans politicians, of Louisiana politicians, involves Governor Edwin Edwards, former Governor Edwin Edwards, now in jail, same place as the last three Louisiana insurance commissioners in a row. Get elected insurance commissioner, go to jail. Edwin Edwards was put in jail by a dedicated federal prosecutor who caught him taking kickbacks for the granting of a gambling boat license. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, shocking as it may sound, corruption in the granting of a gambling boat license. But before that, he was a three-term governor, a natty dresser who always boasted that the only way they'd get him into jail is if they found him in bed with a dead girl or a live boy, his quote. And when he ran a fourth time for governor, already with allegations of corruption hanging over his well-coiffed head, his opponent was David Duke, a former Ku Klux Klansman who was, with the aid of some plastic surgery, trying to present himself now as just another conservative. And that was the two-man race for the governor of Louisiana. So the bumper stickers on behalf of Edwin Edwards put it as baldly as possible. They said, vote for the crook. It's important.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. To be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry. I see you by and by. Well, I'm walking to New Orleans. I've got no time for talking. I've got to keep on walking. New Orleans is my home. That's the reason why I'm gone. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans.
But don't get the wrong idea. The city is full of writers. Not just Anne Rice. Not just Richard Ford. Read Confederacy of Dunces sometime. No, it's not about the current relief effort. It's the greatest book ever written about New Orleans. Photographers, artists, doctors, nurses, who've been heroes this week, along with people in the Coast Guard. Carpenters, painters, you know the story. It's a city. But it's one of a kind. That concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, over the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet 7.4 and 5 megahertz, around the world via the internet on your computer at two different locations, live and archived, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. On channel 108, Sirius Satellite Radio, available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow and available as a podcast from kcrw.com. And it would be just like you pitching in to bring it back if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. LeShow Internet Services by Steve Mack. A tip of the LeShow chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. LeShow playlists available at harryshearer.com. And some addresses of ways you can help are available on the Eat the Press page at www.huffingtonpost.com. Eat the Press. I'll try to post them at harryshearer.com as well. And now a word from Kanye West. Oh, sorry.